Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And Ghost Huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRothTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Jeff Belanger, writer and researcher for Ghost Adventures. I'm an author, the writer, host, and producer of New England Legends, the television series, and the podcast. And I just love all things spooky, and I love that Sophia Temporelli has made it 10 years, a decade of broadcasting on liveparanormal.com. Congratulations, that's an incredible accomplishment, and please stay spooky, Sophia.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Everybody, feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316 as well. Feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to get an avatar, and you're part of the LP family there. Any questions for our guests, make sure that they're all capped so we can distinguish between the chatter and the chat room, too, as well. And everybody, happy Halloween weekend. Congratulations, Sophia, on over 10 years of broadcasting here, a decade on liveparanormal.com and History FM. Thank you, Rob Sarek, for making this format possible each and every week, and thank you to all of our moderators through the years for patching us through at live events. We had no internet feed. Thank you guys so much for that. Today we welcome Holly Weird Paranormal True Crime and Paranormal Podcast host Tammy Marib Chavez and Bryce Williams on today's show. Everyone visit TammyMerib.com. That's M-E-R-H-E-B. So TammyMerib.com, Facebook, Holly Weird Paranormal, Twitter at HWP Podcast, Instagram at Holly Weird Paranormal, YouTube, subscribe, Holly Weird Paranormal, and Tammy's Ghostland features on myparanormal.net. Upcoming next weekend, we have the Heritage Hunter Society paranormal researcher Michael LaChiana returning to the program. So that'll be the 6th. Also, paranormal researcher and YouTube sensation Carl the Crusher will be on the program on the 13th of November. Our paranormal journey field investigator George Chaplin will be on the program on December 4th. Ghost story and Mike Ricksecker will return to the program and promote his title, Alaska's Mysterious Triangle. You can get copies on Amazon.com. He'll be on January 15th of 2022. So we have other guests booking their dates currently, too, as well as securing their spots. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. By doing so, you can like the Ghost Host on LiveParanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. Also, like LiveParanormal.com Facebook group page, a lot of great new paranormal investigators and roundup panels on the weekends. A lot of great new hosts have been added to the roster here at LiveParanormal.com, so check it out. Also, memberships. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the members here. So a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors. He's great about that, rewarding you guys. Also, to support the vendors here on LP. So if you're getting grandma a mail meter for Christmas or anything like that, make sure you do it with the vendors here on Live Paranormal. And tonight, starting on Live Paranormal at 7 p.m. Eastern, be on the screen and Ghostlight Radio, as well as Mondays monthly right here. Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and now on Kindred Spirits. He's monthly on this very network, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, many more right here on this very network. Also on this show, if you miss anything, free MP4 iTunes downloads are available on the homepage of LiveParanormal.com immediately following the broadcast. So you can toggle around. You get bumped down. I'm trying to unmute our guest right, our host right here. A little slowing. Sophia, congratulations on 10 years of broadcasting here on Live Paranormal.
Thank you. I can't believe it's been 10 years.
You're doing a fantastic job. You've helped a lot of people through the years. And also, too, happening right now, starting last night, thedarkzone.tv, that's thedarkzone.tv, the Real Life Conjuring House Homecoming, a live streaming event. And your interview will be featured on Sunday night. So how cool is that?
Oh, it's really exciting. I love working with the Dark Zone. They're such a great, they're just great people over there. And The Conjuring is such an iconic house. I was fortunate enough to interview Cody Ray Desians and Satori Hawes. So everyone make sure to check out that interview at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on a House Homecoming at darkzone.tv.
Well, Mom and Dad are looking forward to it, too. We haven't even seen it. We heard you in the other room doing the interview with Cody and Satori, so it should be really good, and it sounded really fun and lively in there and stuff, so that's going to be tomorrow night. But you got all this stuff now. You got some other stuff just posted on YouTube, but you got all these Instagrams, all these things you kids are into. Where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram at Sophia Temporelli and Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L. And you can find me on Facebook, Sophia Temporelli, which I know is shocking.
This is going to be cool. Tell us about our guest today, Sophia.
Today we welcome Holly Weird Paranormal, True Crime, and Paranormal Podcast hosts Tammy Merheb Chavez and Bryce Williams. Everyone visit TammyMerheb.com, Facebook, Holly Weird Paranormal, Twitter at HWP Podcast, Instagram at Holly Weird Paranormal, YouTube, subscribe, Holly Weird Paranormal, and Tammy's Ghostland features on myparanormal.net. Let's welcome them into the show.
Okay, let's see. Let's see if I can get them unmuted here. I got one. I got Tammy. I got Bryce.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Hi. Hello. Thank you so much for having us.
Hey,
thanks,
thank you
guys
so much for coming on today.
Thank you. Congratulations on your 10 years, Sophia.
That's amazing.
I know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Our 10 years of continuing to drink coffee. Yeah, that's our 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, that's really exciting, too. I don't know when my grandma started, but it's clearly been probably close to 80 years. So you guys are working your way up to her status.
That's honestly my goal. Like, I want to get a little chip. I want to get, like, a little gold star. I want to hit 80 years. That's my goal.
And a shirt, a mug.
Yeah, I mean, the coffee status, you really got to compete with her because she, I think, would just spontaneously combust if she didn't have coffee.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But thank you guys again so much for coming on today. I mean, to start off, can you tell us kind of how each of you got into the paranormal? Did you have your own experiences or, you know, did you just have an interest that led to investigating?
Well, I'm originally from New Orleans, so I'm from a spooky city already. I never had anything specifically, like, haunted happen to me until I started working in theater. And then I started working in haunted theater, and then I had my first experience in a theater in New Orleans. And then that soon grew to having more experiences on film. Mm-hmm. And at my last job where I met Bryce, and he'll tell the story of how we actually – like became friends and got into the banter and got into the podcast, but we worked at a very haunted school in Hollywood that was owned by Charlie Chaplin. The grounds were owned and had his own house built on the same grounds where the school is by Charlie Chaplin, where people believed he still roams to this very day in spirit.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. But Bryce, I guess you could take it away with how we met.
That's yeah, funny. Well, I was going to say, too, it's funny. Mm-hmm. I always say that people who are into the paranormal are sort of like this little underground group of friends that we don't even know each other exists. And so I always find that you kind of have to dip your little toe in the water and just see, like, where people are at in terms of their journey, I guess, for lack of a better word, with the paranormal. And that's sort of how Tammy and I started, is you just kind of start sending out the little feeler, like, oh, hey, like, have you heard about, like, the school's history or, like, the school's haunting? And so that's sort of how we started. I worked on the third floor, and Tammy worked in the basement of the school. And because I am a terrible employee, I would just take breaks all the time and go down and chat with Tammy for, like, multiple hours on end.
Oh, yeah.
And so we just kind of started talking about the school, and I had been there as a student for 3 years, and then my fourth year there, when I was working there, Tammy, that was her first year there, and we actually met because I was in a play that she was the costume designer for, and we had to do like an underwear fitting. So once you've seen someone in their underwear, you're like pretty much friends for life.
Yeah, that's it.
And yeah, there's no boundaries at that point. So then we would just start talking about the school's haunted history and if we had ever seen ghosts or had any experience with that. And once that first layer was peeled off, we basically just dove in and kind of thought maybe there's something here and we should explore that, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah,
and that's definitely an interesting story. I mean, I don't think you could get a closer bond than an underwear fitting. I mean, at least you guys, you know, have built that trust up from before you started investigating and stuff. Because, I mean, that's so important when you're investigating to be able to rely and trust absolutely.
Definitely.
And even when you're sharing experiences, unexplainable experiences, there's a level of trust, you know. You don't know what those individuals have went through psychologically and emotionally, so that could be some layered, like, trauma right there, and they're trusting you with that, and that right there is a bond. I always call people, like, oh, we're good friends now when they share with me their paranormal experiences, because to me, that is a bond right there. That is something that they trust you with, and to me, that's why I love being in this field, in this community. It's like, we trust each other with these experiences, and together we're going to figure out what it was. Whether it was, you know, explainable or not, you know, we're going to figure it out. So.
For sure. What was kind of the weirdest experience you had while at that school, or one that you heard?
Yeah.
Well, we would hear, Bryce can even chime in too, we would hear, I think you even had the story from one of the directors, but people would see a figure of a man dressed in a period suit walk on the ground.
And it was like, it would be like late at night, even past midnight, when the security guards would see them, see this happen. And then even in the theater, because what we didn't know were that there were these two historical structures that belonged to Charlie Chaplin. And at first the school horribly wanted to tear them down and build a bigger theater. And they were like, no. That's adorable, but no, that's not going to happen. These two structures were, you know, his home, and they're not going to be touched. They're not going to be torn down. So they built a little group of offices in one house, and then a theater connected to another below, and that's where, I guess, activity was. I think there were two stories, right, in regards to what people saw in the theater and what happened to those costumes in the basement.
Yeah, so the one that I was, I would say, the closest related to was my first year as a student. So this was like roughly 2009, 2010, somewhere around there. They had done a show, the play version of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, obviously the movie, the Oscar-winning movie, very famous, but the play version they had done, and as everyone knows, or for anyone who might not know, the entirety of that show is set in an insane asylum in like the 50s, early 60s. So most of the actors are in straitjackets for much, if not all, of the play. And so, you know, that's not a costume piece that most schools have, obviously. So they had to rent these straitjackets. I think it was like roughly 15. And because, you know, they were rented, they're obviously very expensive, and they were storing them in the basement of the school in basically what amounted to like a costume annex. And so there was one room, one door in and out of the room, and the costume director at the time, the woman who was working, I guess, like in conjunction with Tammy right before Tammy started, she was the only one that had the key into that room, again, because they're not a prop that you want to mess with or get destroyed or anything like that. And so, you know, the school, most people who are there as students, they're between the ages of like 18 to 25. It's like a post high school experience. So there are lots of students who have messed costumes up, or as Tammy can attest, people are just really careless with the way they treat costumes. But with these, they were very strict because they're rentals, so they would lock them up in this annex every night. And again, the costume, she only had the one key. And I believe it was the day of either tech or dress rehearsal, it was very close to the start of the show, she opened the room to get the costumes, the straitjackets out, and they had all been slashed as if someone had taken like scissors or a knife and just shredded through them. And they checked, you know, like security footage, and they tried to find if anyone else had a key. And obviously they had to then essentially buy these costumes, but she essentially from that point onward would not go in that room by herself. Like, she felt that there was something very malevolent in there, that the presence of the straitjacket specifically really triggered that response from something. And, you know, obviously the school in its due diligence tried to investigate and see if there was any possible way. And, of course, like, realistically, could someone have gotten in and destroyed the jackets? Yeah, of course, that's always a possibility. We talk about that a lot on our show. You know, you always try and hear hoof beats and think horses, but ultimately the way that the costumer, she described that story, just the fear and then the altered action of her never going in that room by herself from that moment onward, you know, again, I always try and be a little skeptical, but there was something certainly in that basement that felt very ominous when you were down there by yourself. Yeah, so that was the story that I would say I was the most closely related. But like I mentioned, it's so funny, once you start telling those stories, then other people start corroborating, like, this is what happened to me in the basement, or the school recently opened student housing and students started seeing things more frequently. Yeah, so that would be the one I would say I was the most closely related to, but certainly scary when you think about what kind of energy was being exerted just to slash those costumes.
The costumes, like, I felt like probably they were a trigger object or something.
Mm-hmm.
We were even thinking, because Charlie Chaplin's mother was admitted to a mental hospital, could that be him, or, you know, his anger, you know, being released on those? It was just a theory we were coming up with. But I even remember seeing those straitjackets, and when I was transitioning into that position of director, I remember that former director would refuse to go in that room. Like, I remember her trying to take me on the tour. She would even step through the threshold of it. I was like, okay. There is a bit of a unsettling feeling in this room, but whatever, you know, let's go to work. But the box of the straitjackets were kept in the main shop, and they were kept in the corner, and even the assistants, they didn't know that they were there. They would go to that corner because that's where the washer and dryer were located, and they would hate to wash clothes there because they felt as though something was watching over their shoulder, like something was behind them. And once we moved those straitjackets out of that area and into a different space away from the shop, it ceased. So that was pretty astounding. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's an amazing experience to have happen. I mean, it's crazy, you know, how many people were trying to figure it out and figure out a logical reason why it happened. I mean, that's really just, like, such a big experience, too, since so many people, you know, were a part of it and experienced it. Have either of you or both of you had a chance to actually go and do a proper investigation of the building or the basement?
Yes, I have, since I had full access, especially the dormitory. So bouncing off of Rice, I'm going to say, like, 5 or 6 years into my position there, the school purchased an apartment complex literally, like, right behind the fence of the school. There was this apartment building that they purchased. They flipped it and turned them into dorms. So it would give students, you know, a better way to live on near campus, better access onto campus without having to commute in this horrible traffic of L.A. And the first 6 months was there were stories that were surfacing, and that's how, like, Bryce and I were getting even more intrigued with the stories. People would see a shadow man, and they would hear a child roaming certain hallways of the dorms. And then one of the students allowed me to interview her and her other friends. They're both RAs. We have them interviewed. Katie, her name is Katie. We have her interviewed in one of her episodes of Is Our Job Haunted by the Ghost of Charlie Chaplin? And what I was always taught as an investigator, you always go based on accounts and stories. Her account was very astonishing. She was watching a movie with her friend in her room, and he went to go use the restroom. She went to the kitchen, and she saw a figure that was darker as night, the blackest of the black, and she felt this overwhelming fear of fear and intimidation and anger. And she started crying, and her friend came out of the bathroom and saw the same thing. And he is a skeptic, and he's like, I don't want to say what I think it is, but it was definitely not human. It disappeared once we turned on the light, but I saw it too. And to have that validation, to have those two eyewitness accounts were important. And then there was a picture that surfaced, and it was of a student who took a picture of what he felt was a man sitting inside his apartment. He was in this kitchen, saw the reflection of a sliding glass door, and saw this shadowy figure of the shadow man in the hat. He took it, and it's, like, clear as day. We have it in our Instagram. I think I'll repost it right now, but it is on the far left. You'll see a reflection of a man, looks like sitting down next to him. It's pretty, it's pretty interesting, and it really is creepy. But the most interesting thing too is after I graduated, another year came in and they moved in, and they had the same experiences. Those accounts of the New Year students paralleled with the accounts of the students that graduated. So they too would let me into their dorm room, and there was just crazy activity going on, weird smells, the turning on and off of the water. And then it seemed like the entities would change. There was one that they called the cowboy that people would see, a man in a cowboy outfit. And another one of a woman who would just stand in a certain threshold of a hallway of your room and just watch you go in and out of your room during certain hours of the night. It was the most astonishing stories I would hear and accounts of these students. Some of them believed, and some of them left the school as believers because they couldn't make sense of what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, it can be really hard, too, when you have to deal with this on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, for people who live in haunted houses, it can feel like you have no one to relate to. But when you're in a school setting like that and you have other people, it's good for them to have someone they can relate to. But it's also just, you know, I think amazing for people who may not be believers that, like, what I'm experiencing has been experienced by someone I've literally never met in my life and don't know. And this happened to them, too.
Right. And
that
a
was
lot
the
of
thing
them...
that we always noted was when before the school owned that building in particular, which is now the dorms, it was apartment buildings. So, again, there were some students that lived there because it was so close, but that was maybe one or two units in like a 50-unit building with the rest of them being non-school tenants. And so once the school bought that building and moved the majority of the student body into that building, the amount of energy that's coalescing onto that one location, I mean, in general, actors are a lot of energy to deal with as it is. When you're there in the school, you're in class on a set schedule, you're seeing these people 8 to 16 hours a day, and then you go home and you're there with them and you're rehearsing your lines. And, you know, there is an element of pouring out energy into the work that you're doing. And so a lot of what it started to feel like was happening was not only were we hearing more stories because maybe these people that had lived in the apartment before had heard these things, but we would have never had an in to find that out. So now not only do we have access because the students are seeing what's happening in every single room of that building, but you're also bringing in people who are heightened in terms of their emotions, in terms of their sensibility and their sensitivity. Now you have this sort of melting pot of activity, and it's very interesting, like Tammy had mentioned, people who would come into the school, hear these stories, like, no, that's not true, that can't happen, would end up often being the most adamant supporters of what they had seen because there was truly no other explanation for the things that were happening to the entire class full of people. You're talking 100 to 200 people at any given time at this school that are able to experience and see and corroborate with one another. Like, it's just a test zone, if you will, that we were very lucky to be a part of. And heard some stories, you know. Also, the thing that was so interesting was there were issues of malevolence in certain cases, of fear, but there were also instances of, like, humorous, funny, like, weird, like, it was such an amalgamation of experience. Like, okay, it's not just this one thing, like, everyone's experiencing the same thing. Different rooms and different levels of the apartment were experiencing similar and different experiences. It just became this sort of petri dish, really, of paranormal activity next to the school.
And I just uploaded a picture of the story on Instagram. If you can click all the way to the end of our story, you'll see the picture of the Shadow Man.
Yeah, I mean, that's really amazing just to have that. And I think, you know, people, too, who are in the arts, at least, you know, they're more open-minded to kind of those experiences and emotions because they want to, you know, kind of see the different points of view in life. And so I think that really helps, too, just for the spirits. They have people that, you know, are trying to get reactions or trying to, you know, play a part. And they're kind of seeing, like, hey, maybe I can actually be noticed by this person because, you know, they're more on the artistic side than, you know, just straight up logical.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think there's definitely a willingness to explore the unknown. You know, you're already doing that in your craft. You're doing things that you haven't maybe experienced in your real life, but still trying to portray them in a believable way. And so when you're experiencing that in your real life as well, it just logically follows that you would look at all possibilities. I think people of the artistic flair tend to be more open, like you had mentioned.
Absolutely. I do know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions and more ghost stories.
The Ghost Host Show is Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Everybody, we welcome today Hollyweird Paranormal True Crime and Paranormal Podcast hosts Tammy Mareb Chavez and Bryce Williams. And everyone visit TammyMareb.com. That's M-E-R-H-E-B, so TammyMareb.com. Facebook, Hollyweird Paranormal. Twitter, at HWP Podcast. Instagram, and also to see the shadow figure, too, at Hollyweird Paranormal on Instagram. YouTube, subscribe, Hollyweird Paranormal, and Tammy's Ghostland features on myparanormal.net. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the Paranormal Rockstar, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it, you know. It's almost like we didn't leave break.
Poor Dave left out everything. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Bringing everybody back into the studio, Tammy, Bryce, and also too, Richard Sennett, the historian on this very show, said that, yeah, the most haunted places in the world are theaters because the actors portraying their energy and the audience is receiving it. Okay, we got everybody back in the studio.
Well, first off, thank you guys again so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
So before the break, I know we talked a little bit about, you know, your experiences of how you got started in the field and just kind of your interest and, you know, just backstory of the experiences that happened at the particular school and theater you went to. But how did you go from those experiences and that interest to actually starting Hollyweird Paranormal?
Yeah. Tammy. Tammy is the engine that drives us.
I think this was a time back in 2016, 2017, where, you know, podcasting was really exploding. That was a time to really get in. And, you know, we had our favorite, you know, we love true crime stories, we love telling stories, and we love stories of the paranormal. Let's just intertwine them. And then we had the introduction of And That's Why We Drink that, you know, introduced true crime and the paranormal. Mm-hmm. We loved My Favorite Murder, of course, hello, shout out to all the murderinos. And serial podcast, and of course, you know, the Godfathers. I'm going to call them both the Godfathers. Coast to Coast, Art Bell, may he rest in peace, and of course, Jim Hill's podcast, Paranormal Podcast. So, I wanted to like create something with Bryce where we could share these stories, get the banter going, and have like his skepticism along with my beliefs kind of intertwine, like a good balance, and just decided to launch Hollyweird Paranormal in 2017. And then I wanted it to be more than just lip service. I wanted it to be, I wanted to learn more about the field. I wanted to really experience what it's like to investigate and really get to the nitty gritty. And it took a lot of reaching out to people, reaching out to historians and investigators and individuals who were famous for, you know, living in these haunted houses and it just kind of blew up from there. It just snowballed. And now I'm really involved in investigations. I even took a class with Lloyd Auerbach at the Rhine Institute, and I'm just really learning and growing and expanding and seeing what, you know, comes next for our podcast.
Yeah. And I think we kind of also talked about there's an element that nobody loves talking about Hollywood and Los Angeles more than Angelenos. So I think there's an element of we live in the city, and, you know, I certainly didn't understand when I first moved here. It's kind of a sterile city in a lot of ways. There's a lot of gentrification that's happening, and it's very expensive, and people are being priced out. So in many ways, it doesn't feel like a city that's very welcoming or very full of activities outside of the entertainment industry. But once you start peeling back those layers, you realize not only, yeah, it's a younger city than most cities in this country, but it does have such a rich history dating back, obviously, pre-settlers and the native people that started here, and just the geology of this region and the history of expansion and through the gold rush and through, you know, El Camino and all of the missions that were happening. And it's just such an interesting place to learn about because of the strange history. Obviously, yes, it is tied up deeply with the entertainment industry and the ways that those stories kind of have shaped this city. And I don't know, it just sort of became a little bit of a love letter to these passions and the ways that they intertwine. Like, yes, there are true crime stories that are always happening. There are paranormal stories that are always happening. The entertainment industry is often always involved, and really finding the overlay of those things kind of drew a lot of our passions into a singular topic.
For sure. And, you know, with your studies of true crime through Hollywood Paranormal, what has been the most interesting case for each of you that you've kind of researched and found out about?
I would have to say, of course, the famous Marilyn Monroe case.
Mm-hmm.
We always have to talk about Grand Dame Marilyn Monroe. She is definitely, if Ellie was a woman, I would be Marilyn, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I feel not just in one place, she's all over the place. And
yeah.
It is a crime. Mm-hmm. It's a crime because not just her murder, it's just how she was treated, just how Hollywood
right.
treated. And that treated her, and that goes for Judy Garland as well. It's a crime for how
say too.
Women. Yeah. And I feel like they come back in certain ways. They come back in their own way, in their own light, because they're attached to the city and the industry regardless. And there is an essence of them everywhere.
Yeah, I would
Absolutely.
Say I think my favorite episode we did a multi-part series on Judy Garland and The Wizard of Oz and the
yes.
stories of what, you know, obviously there's a lot of rumors and myth around that production in general, but even as often is the case, the truth is even more fascinating. Just learning just the ways that, like, actors were treated in the 30s as, like, props who spoke, like, it's just chaos, the things that that cast in particular was going through in order to make that film that's so beloved and so
yeah.
groundbreaking. But, you know, that came at a cost, and that cost was the actor's sanity and safety. And so, again, like, it always comes back to what energy is being generated. That set was fraught with danger and psychosis and abuse and all of these things. And then you look at Judy Garland's life in general, and it's sort of this classic Hollywood tale, but the things that she endured to maintain her career are really horrifying. So, yeah, and then, of course, there are, like, more gritty, like, actual true crime. Those are more maybe historical. But even recently, you know, we've seen, you know, instances of the hotel murder episode that we did and all of the things that have happened even within the last couple of years that are more true crime based. So it's just, again, it's like such an interesting city because it really encapsulates, like, our imagination, but also, like, the darker side of the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, the actors and actresses were treated really horribly back then, you know, with their contracts with the studios and just the way that they had to stay a certain weight. They, you know, couldn't be with who they wanted to be with. They had to, you know, abort pregnancies just to stay with a certain image that they had. And it was really horrible. And it affected so many of the entertainers back in the day. And I think a lot of people forget that when they watch old movies, you know, that there was this glamorous side to it all, but there was also just this dark price that came with doing any of that back in the day. You wanted to do something you loved, but also, you know, it destroyed you at the same time.
Yes.
Yep. That is still, you know, being felt to this very day, as we've seen, you know, with what just happened with the Alec Baldwin set. You know, I can I just worked on a film, a horror film in August with some big names. And, I mean, I don't want to go into it too much, but we had a crew that was, we were all ready to walk because of the working conditions and how terrible they were. So it still felt to this very day.
Absolutely. And I know you were talking about, you know, true crime and just the way that actors and actresses were treated back then. But I think one of the biggest cases just kind of surrounding L.A. too is the Natalie Wood case. What is your take on that?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That, I mean, you can seriously go down a rabbit hole, but I felt that there's foul play in 100%.
It's weird that you bring that up. I always say, like, Los Angeles is the biggest little town that you will ever experience. And so with the Natalie Wood case, it's actually very interesting because there is a fellow alumna of our school who was in the third year program when I was a first year, and her father is like a famous actor from the 80s, and he was very close friends with Natalie Wood and has always felt that there was something nefarious, that the stories were not matching up, and it altered the course of his life because he had to like reevaluate who his friends really were, and he always felt that there was something in her story that did not add up. So it's like this weird, like, that's a person that I know, I've met, and yet it's connected to this like massive famous case. Like, what, like, why is that? That's just how it works. Like, you start peeling back the layers, and all of a sudden you realize that it really is very interconnected.
Yeah.
For sure. And I mean, it's crazy, the whole story.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why in 2011, you know, the LAPD or the LA County Sheriff's Department officially reopened it into with death. And then you had, I think one of her friends, Suzanne Finstad, released a book called Natalie Wood, The Complete Biography, where she really goes in depth in details about Wood's death and that this could not have been an accident. We even did an episode, you guys can find it on our Apple Podcasts site, but we did The Curse. What was the name of the movie? It had Natalie Woods and oh my goodness, on the tip of my tongue, the big Western movie. It was like The Curse of Rebel Without a Cause, Curse, I believe, but they were also in a part of another movie that was supposedly cursed as well. Sal Manillo, Marino, and James Dean and Natalie Wood, how they were all claimed to be cursed because they did this movie, and people still link that curse to her death or being a part of that film. But, I mean, I don't think it has to do with any curses. I just think it has to do with Hollywood. And Hollywood as a piece, how it manipulates and persuades people to do the unthinkable. And I always, this is a quote that I always carry with me ever since watching the movie of Beetlejuice, especially working in this field of the paranormal. It's like, you never trust the living. I always feel safer with the dead, not so much with the living.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely, you know, really hard being able to know who you can trust in any industry, but also, you know, that's why I was saying earlier, it's so big on trust in the paranormal too, because when you have experiences, you need to know that there's someone you can rely on, that if something does go bad, whether physically, you know, abandoned buildings aren't the safest place to walk around, you have someone that can take you to get medical attention or help you if it's something small, but also be able to back up your story and tell you, hey, no, that I saw what happened. It was a car light, or like, oh no, I saw that too. That was really weird. And be able to trust that what they're saying can, you know, either verify it or help you debunk something.
Oh yes, 100%. And with that said, I mean, there comes that, you know, that thing of trust, you know. You got to trust the person that you're with, of course.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of investigations, I know you had a recent investigation at the Sugar Mint Gallery. Can you tell the audience a little bit about that and who you were investigating with?
Oh, my God, yeah. So this was, like, a last-minute investigation at the Sugar Mint Gallery located in South Pasadena. And you guys can follow them at the Sugar Mint Gallery on Instagram. But I was with Matt Lytle and Chris Caleb of the show Ghost Loop. And what the Sugar Mint Gallery is, it's a gallery filled with horror treats, like everything from Halloween to trick-or-treat. And it is such an amazing gallery to venture to because guess what's next door to the gallery? It's the Mike Myers Halloween house from 1978. They have it intact. They have it fully, you know, repaired and everything in good shape. It's located right next door, so you can take a ton of social media pics right next to it. It is protected by the South Pasadena Historical Society, and then you can venture back to the Sugar Mint. You all over, like, their little gallery of actual installations, pieces from movies. You have a huge real-life statue of Mike Myers. I think they have actual photographs of the director of photography, what they had taken on set. And they have a couple of pieces, too, of behind the scenes of Hocus Pocus. It is phenomenal. You could bring your dog. I brought my dog Mia there. It is amazing. Oh. And then come to find out, it's haunted. So it's that question, or artwork that's haunted. No, it's actually South Pasadena. South Pasadena is pretty historical, very old. I mean, I'm talking about, like, horse and buggy old. And this is a funny story. That Saturday, I think it was a couple weeks ago, I was on my way to an investigation at the David Omen house, which Bryce and I have attended. I don't know if you have done something with David Omen. I think you may have in the past. But David Omen, gentleman, lives 300 feet away from where the Sharon Tate murders occurred. I get a call from Matt Lyle. You've got to be here right now. We're doing an investigation at the Sugar Mint. There's a haunted doll. Enough said. I'm there. So we go there, and they have their phasma box set up. They have the haunted doll. I immediately meet Sarah, who is the caretaker of the Sugar Mint. She's the coordinator and extraordinaire. She's always busy. So for her to take these 45 minutes to do an investigation was important because she's like, there's things that are going on in this gallery that I cannot explain. It has to be attributed to the house, and there's this doll that I was gifted. So there's a doll that belonged to a 15-year-old girl who had been, I think she had been killed by her father. I'm not sure, or a husband, because at that time, yes, if you're 15, you're, you know, supposed to get married and have babies and, yes, and live to the ripe old age of possibly 25 if you're lucky. And it was said that she was holding on to this doll when she passed, and this doll is claimed. It's just claimed that it may have her spirit attached to it. I think her name is Liz or Lizzie. I could be wrong. And the spirit of her father, which is the more malevolent force. And for having a lot of things happening in that room, I was having, like, a tremendous amount of head pressure, like a migraine that just happened out of nowhere. And I am not the type to get headaches or migraines, but for some reason, there's this pressure that was sitting on my head, and we had a psychic who was reading cards. She's like, you're feeling that. I'm like, oh, my God, yes. And it just, it came out of the blue. I remember I was going through my head. I'm like, what's going on? I drank water. I ate before coming here. There's just no rhyme or reason why I'm feeling this. And we were getting some pretty great feedback from our fashion box, because we felt like it wasn't just a doll. Like, it was a lot of things that were attracted to the house. Another thing that Sarah was saying about the Sugar Mint is that in closing, she would hear footsteps in different rooms, door closing, just unexplainable occurrences, shadow figures. She would feel as though something is in the house with her when she's by herself. She has a dog, and the dog would look at corners when one's supposed to be there. And in the words of Bryce Mitchell Williams, please stop staring at the devil. So this is a situation that would occur. I'm going to go back there and do another formal investigation. of the entire place and see what else we can find. I would love to do more due diligence on the property. From what I found out, the property, I think, is 80 to 85 plus years old, and it was used as a location for shops and other galleries, and it was at one point owned and leased by an older woman who then gave the lease to Sarah. So we don't know if that woman has passed and possibly is there, but that's, you know, something we have to find out.
For sure. And, I mean, you've both investigated some amazing locations, but where would each of you still like to go and investigate the most?
I will not be leaving my bed for any investigation because I am too much of a scaredy cat. No, there are places.
Brett has participated in like a couple, but the David Omen house is where he had a lot of things happen.
Yeah. I'll have everyone know that recently. I watched The Conjuring by myself, home alone, not 2 days ago. So if that's not bravery, I don't know what is.
I have a friend that watched The Conjuring with some of his roommate once, and a jump scare scared him so bad he got like a full body cramp. He got like a really bad leg cramp. So you do have him beat. So, props for bravery.
My one roommate came home. She's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm watching The Conjuring." She's like, "Why? You hate being afraid." I was like, "Yes, I know. I also recently watched Midnight Mass, which is great. Highly recommend on Netflix. But I was so scared that I wouldn't get out of my bed to go get water, even though I was dying of thirst, because I didn't want to look out the window because I was so convinced that there was going to be something looking at me. Like, I'm a grown man. That's fine. I live with roommates. Like, I'm probably the safest I could be. Like, no, I'll just die of thirst."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes,
I mean, I totally get it. I hate being scared, too. I don't go to, the Halloween haunted houses, and I don't watch horror movies. I watched Halloween for the first time, like, 3 weeks ago, and I had a lot of thoughts. It didn't scare me, but I had a lot of thoughts.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, I'm already at the Halloween. I love Halloween. That's my favorite horror movie, but I think, we're at that point of the Halloween fatigue. We're like, okay. We know you can't destroy evil. We can't destroy Mike Myers. That's it. That's just it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Why does he not drive a car? You know? That's what I want to know.
Right? That is a $1 million question.
Why does she keep bringing down the knife? I just have a lot of questions about it.
I've worked on too many horror film sets, so I'm just, so used to it. Whenever I watch a horror film, I'm like, okay. And that was just I wonder what kind of blood that is. Is that three kings blood that they're using? Mm. What is that? Or old school weight? Mm. So, yeah, I'm just so used to the jump scares at this point. The past horror movie I worked on, I was in a room with a 6'5" demon. So that was interesting.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I still have dreams about that, but it was funny. He goes to the soundstage. It's the 6'5" actor who is used to doing these types of films. It took him 8 hours to get into this demon costume. He gets on the soundstage, freaks everybody out, gets off, and then he's like, "Ooh, okay, where's my mentee?" And in his demon costume, I'm just seeing him in his robe, looking through his socials on his cell phone while he's freaking his mentee, and I'm just thinking, if my sleep paralysis demon was a person, was you know, physical, this would be it. Drinking mint tea, going through his social.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, you know, just the Halloween season in general, and people are like, "You're investigators. You're supposed to love everything that comes with it." I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't know about that one. I know we're coming towards the end of the show, so I want to make sure you guys get out to promote everything you want to. So can you tell us if there's any websites, upcoming interviews, events, or podcasts that you would like to mention?
Absolutely. You can venture to our website, HollyWeirdParanormal.com. You can read our bios and tune in to our past episodes and seasons. Mm-hmm. We have a few interviews lined up. We're trying to get an interview with, I think it's James Bartlett of Gourmet Ghosts, and, of course, mm-hmm. Mystic Dylan. Of, I think, the Old World shop and boutique. So he is a witch, a Hollywood witch as well. And we are still trying to plan more investigations in the future, so you'll have to kind of follow us on Instagram to figure out where and when that will happen. The Sugar Mint will definitely be one of those investigations. And I think that's pretty much it. You can follow us on our social media once more, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Hollywood Paranormal, and Twitter at HWP Podcast.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for coming on today. It was great talking to both of you. I would love to have you both back on in the future. And, you know, happy Halloween since it's the day before.
Yes, oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys. And, yeah,
thanks
you're
so
welcome
much.
Back anytime you need to promote anything.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And thank you, Dan. Thank you so much, Sophia, once more. And, of course.
Yes, and congratulations again. 10 years. That's crazy.
I know.
Wow. So thank you so much. Thank you.
10 more.
Thanks,
ten
guys.
More
happy
years.
Halloween.
10 more hits.
Please.
Thanks. Happy Halloween.
Thanks,
bye,
guys.
Bye.
Wow. Fantastic show today, Sophia.
Definitely. I want to thank Hollywood Paranormal for coming on today. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely not be possible without all of you. Make sure to check out A House Homecoming to watch me do another interview tomorrow night. And have a great Halloween, guys. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Yeah, the Ghost Host Show is Sophia Tempera on liveparanormal.com. Today, Hollywood Paranormal, Tammy and Bryce, everybody go to HollywoodParanormal.com. That's HollywoodParanormal.com. TammyMarab.com. Also, Facebook, Hollywood Paranormal. Twitter, at HWP Podcast. And Instagram, also, too, the new post that Tammy put up there as well on Instagram, at Hollywood Paranormal. YouTube, subscribe, Hollywood Paranormal. And Tammy's Ghostland features on myparanormal.net. As mentioned, too, coming up, we have the Heritage Hunter Society paranormal researcher returning, Michael Lachiana. That's the 6th, next Saturday. Sounds like the dogs are entering the house right now. Paranormal research at the Deluxe Studios here at Live Paranormal. Paranormal researcher and YouTube sensation, Carl the Crusher. He'll be on the 13th of November. As well, our paranormal journey field investigator, George Shoplin. He'll be on the program on December 4th. And also, leading into next year, ghost historian Mike Ricksacker promotes the title Alaska's Mysterious Triangle on January 15th of 2022. Like the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. And so you don't want to miss any of these upcoming guests, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Seon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to the Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.